Her hands were bluffs, ridge, gully, crag, angle and scree, scored by battles with slubber, loo, roving frame. But armed with needles, her fingers crackled with poetry, which turned her yarn and thread from prose to melody. Not a song she wanted to sing. Her hopes had another name. Her hands were bluffs, ridge, gully, crag, angle and scree. Her cuffs bristled with ranks of steel pins because she was ready to do what she hated, cut, shape, stitch, tame. And armed with needles, her fingers crackled with poetry. No softness, no rounded corners. If she spoke, it was roughly. If she gestured, harshly. Her sharp angles attached to no blame, though her hands were bluffs, ridge, crag, angled scree. She craved the rasp of pencil, the contours of a map, a journey anywhere. Poverty put pay to that. She made no counterclaim. Still, armed with needles, her fingers crackled with poetry. I cannot say she was ever proud, pleased, or even happy, but she bequeathed me space she could never name. Yes, her hands were bluffs, ridge, gully, crag, angle, and scree. But armed with needles, her fingers crackled with poetry. Her first name was Frost, her second was Snow. There's no doubting the icy design of her writer. She cleaved to the text, but cleaved from the shadow, and hoped for sovereignty tomorrow, in which the shades would be brighter. Her first name was Frost, her second was Snow, and she swam through shipwrecks, floods, overflow from oceans of melancholy that always grew wider. She cleaved to the text, but cleaved from the shadow, and kept breasting the waves, determined to row to the haven on the other side, always a fighter. Her first name was Frost, her second was Snow. The storms grew wilder, but she chose to follow her own valiant course, carved for an outsider. She cleaved to the text, but cleaved from the shadow. In those glacial years, the land lay fallow, frozen like her name. But times called on winter. Her first name was Frost, her second Snow, though she cleaved from the text and cleaved from the shadow. She wanted more instruments playing together, sonorous, strong, resonant. She'd never had music. Give me voices which are fuller, deeper, richer. For natures like hers, life needed the pleasure of poetry with music, height, depth, volume included. She wanted more instruments playing together, but that symphony, that orchestra, were never allowed. Her starved choice was to ban the acoustic. Give me voices which are fuller, deeper, richer, was the old cry of the girl who craved to be clever. But she chose a Kempis to whom she was never suited. She wanted more instruments playing together, but she apparently chose to surrender to those who required that she be docile, muted. Give me voices which are fuller, deeper, richer, she had pleaded. And though she tamed her temper, her deep yearning never shifted, was always pellucid. She still wanted more instruments playing together. Give me voices which are fuller, deeper, richer. Milk pools on the paper's surface, glossy, taut, tactile. Beneath, on the sous-face, ink seeps, staining the underlayer. Pierce Sir to meet Sue for Inscape's face where women file in line, one overlapping the other, choral, steadfast, agile, spinning parables, future legends, myths of higher air. On the paper's surface, milk pools, glossy, taut, tactile, nourishing, giving succor, each to the other, while those not there yet walk towards the circle, eager to share. Pierce Sir to meet Sue for the Inscape where women file, telling their stories of resist, repel, repeat, revile, and to build a circle where no one need forbear. On the paper's surface, milk pools, glossy, taut, tactile, daring the pen to draw it up and to write a new style of story in which there's no revenge, no savagery, no despair. Pierce Sir to meet Sue for Inscape's face where women file. When they glide to the cool, shaded glade, they merge while they count their number. Five so far, but more will come. Aware that on the paper's surface, milk pools, glossy, taut, tactile. Pierced Sir meets Sue, Inscape's face where women file. Tracing the bark as chart, as pioneer's map, its raised sinews torsioned and strained. The route across the surface seems sharp for creatures there. But unwrap the ancient eyeglass, gaze trained, and trace the bark as chart, as pioneer's map, for yourself. Now the bark's rough nap becomes river's dry tributary, water drained. The route across the surface still seems sharp, but the glass turns legend to odyssey. Bark from burlap to colossus, inch to mile. The bark now bloated, veined. Reading the bark as chart, as pioneer's map, is a journey of many days, from benign plain to ice cap. The unfolded map, if it were one, now limp, stained. But the route across the surface still seems sharp. A map's end marks prizes, a victor's plaque. But this woman's plan is more subtle, restrained. Tracing the bark as chart, as pioneer's map, the route across the surface need not be sharp. If I place one life on another, which is the victor? The strangled life beneath, smothered but first, or the life above, higher, better, sleeker, slicker? I could shuffle the pack, play it pitcher, place above below and make beneath the worst. If I stack one life on another, am I the victor? It's hard to fight the game of tricked and tricker. We're trained to sort, to choose the fittest. The life on top must be higher, better, sleeker, slicker. Girdle finished his mathematical stricture to prove not everything can be proved. At its simplest, if I stack one life on another, there's never a victor. Still, we keep trying. Sure, there must be a stricter way of choosing who wins the game of strongest, weakest. Surely the fragment on top, higher, better, sleeker, slicker. They're the wrong questions. Hofstadter got there quicker. Just loop the loop, and neither above nor below is cursed. If I stack one life on another, no one's the victor. Above and below are higher, better, sleeker, slicker. When she says time is passing, she doesn't know she's passing by it. And the slow seep of pigment through plaster, free to leach to the other side if it wants to see what lies beneath, is not at her command. When she says time is passing, she imagines it coiled in a basket, trained to agree, to be unspooled at will, compliant, hand over hand. But the slow seep of pigment through plaster starts to stain surface's surface. Her will is more plea than command. Verso is reverso. The sand of time is sifting upwards, and she fears she has misspent her currency. Coiled thread uncoils. She recoils, alarmed. A strand tightens. The slow seep of pigment through plaster blossoms and swells across the surface. Fresco, free to make its choice. Because, taking her entitled stand, she misunderstood when she said time is passing. And she is the pigment slowly seeping through plaster. A woman with few words but many hazards, she shrank as what words there were evaporated. At era's end, she was a shadowed shape of past tenses, who elbowed herself out of the way of ballads, even though I had songs for her. And as the syllables fled, she was a woman with fewer words but more hazards. Paltry phrases were pinched inches, but her skills were yards of tulle, velvet, thread, lace, silk braided. At era's end, she was a shadowed shape of past tenses. She'd wanted to write, travel, face the breeze windwards, but her life was airless, her fabric poor, ambition wasted. A woman with fewer words, but even more hazards. She counted her stitches and found them lacking. Shards of poor thread, tattered loops, darned cuffs, lace she hated. By the end, she was a shadowed shape of past tenses. But I have kinder words to hook her forward from fabric's wrong side, where colour and pattern faded. She was a woman with fewer words and yet more hazards, but to me, more than a shadowed shape of past tenses. Stretch the cloth wide, hook it tight to the tenter. Scour its marks, fade its colour, smooth its lines. Join the tuckers, their tenter hooks tender. Tender your tenter hooks, join the tuckers, enter the bleaching fields, follow their signs. Stretch the cloth wide, hook it tight to the tenter. Smooth the cloth kindly, its threads are slender. Pour liquid sun on creases, wrinkles, and lines, and join the tuckers, their tenter hooks tender. The tucker's hands are the cloth's defender. Its silken surface ripples, gleams, and shines. Stretch the cloth wide, hook it tight to the tenter. Miles of cloth, looped to wooden inclines. The day's first length, is pulled from the frame's tines. Join the tuckers, their tenterhooks tender. It's a task performed with skill. The tender tenter has dexterous hands and long timelines. Stretch the cloth wide, hook it tight to the tenter. Join the tuckers, their tenterhooks tender.